the Country Good Style air conditioning fund, and I really appreciate it. And it really means to the glory of God and to the work of the ministry. All that we have, we thank God for what comes into this church and all that goes to the what we're doing in God, and I'm happy about that. Thank God for the different places and different things that bless us. And I pray, Lord, just bless you more abundantly for all that done and all that you are doing. And I'm not worried about the the Word of God says that God is on the righteous to get your labor of love. And I'm sure that you won't do that. So I thank God for all of you. I want to look at a scripture today in Gideon. We looked at it some time ago. I would like to sit tonight for a minute about the same thing because it's encouraging. I want to look at a scripture in Gideon. I'll look at Mark and 1 and John. Where they are, I'm not sure, but I know Noah and I said Gideon, I meant Judges. Someone, you know, I was telling you last week, we were talking about people always say, why do bad things happen to good people? And I said, that all goes back to the garden. You know, life could be better if we weren't on earth, period.
Well,
that's an answer. Someone wants to know, why does bad things happen to good people? It's just life. But the difference is among us, if you don't look at the screen, if you don't allow them. The difference is that things on earth are ever going to be perfect. But life is just better if you have God.
Yeah.
And God is the advantage that we have. And God is what causes us to be overcomers. God is the power that we have over the devil. God is the advantage that we have over sin and darkness. God is our healer when we're down of something, whether physically or otherwise. God is our friend, and God is our leader and guide. So we have God. And then Gideon in Judges, the third chapter, and I think it's the third chapter. I may be fourth. Yeah, I'm afraid you don't. Oh, yeah, okay. Sixth chapter, I'm sorry. And during this time frame, we know about Gideon. We know Israel's really going through. It's always because Israel's so hard-headed. They'll never do what God says, you know, would have them to do. And God is always going to miraculous things in Israel. As a matter of fact, Israel, one thing I'll say about us, the difference with Israel in the Bible. God comes with Noah, again with Joseph, and with Moses. I guess it's not different from us individually, but as a people. God keeps putting Israel back on track.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps putting Israel literally as a people, not just one-on-one. He, as a people, he keeps putting them back on track.
Yeah.
He keeps giving them a reset.
Yeah.
He does it with Noah, and then with Abraham and all that come. He does it with Abraham. He does it with Joseph, because Joseph takes them out of the famine and sets them up. And then God, when he brings them out of Egypt for our benefit and for the glory of God, God gives Israel a huge reset. He brings them out with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. He literally picks them up and gives them in the most literal, strictest sense, new life. And then it's like when God does things for us and turns us around and answers a prayer, and God will sometimes give us a miracle. Maybe we're really going through. The Lord will step in. It might be financially, it might be physically, it might be delivered in one way or another. And God will step in, and there's no doubt in your mind or any sane person's mind that it's God who did it. And the reason why I said sane person is because once they got in the wilderness, a lot of them decided that the God that had brought them out was that little cow.
Yes.
That was insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people who claim deliverance today by certain elements that's obvious to all the people who are sane, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And God brought them out to everybody who was willing to everybody who was willing to see God, everybody who was willing, the people who are willing to contribute the good things that happen in the earth to God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Not everyone is willing to attribute everything to God. And it's not doesn't hinge on race or anything else. I've seen a lot of black people who will say from time to time, you'll say, well, why should I thank God? I've heard people say, I don't know if it was who it was, they would say something like, why should I thank God when I sit down and eat? I'm the one who worked and got this food. How stupid are you?
Yes.
Since everything comes from God, it wasn't for God, they don't know the people you work for. And it just goes on and on and on. But for people who are willing to see God in their life, I want to see God in my life. I want things to be from God.
Yes, yes.
And I want God to be glorified, and I don't want to say that it is of my own doing, because even if you say you worked hard for a living, you would have no work if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't
yes.
have a way to go about earning a living if it wasn't for
yes.
God. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world, meaning the world system,
yes.
and all they that dwell therein, and all the people who are in it. And if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have the means, or you wouldn't have the eyes. You just, you know, you can never say, you know, I did this myself.
Yeah.
It never, there's never a time when you can say it like that, because everything
yeah.
we have comes from God, one way or another.
Yeah.
And actually, I shouldn't say that, it should be in everyone.
Yeah.
But you gotta, you go to a point after a while when you're in the Lord where you want to see, you want to glorify God, and you don't want to ever diverge from that. And Israel seems to be good at they. God gives them a reset, starts them over, puts them in the wilderness. They mess up in the wilderness. God sits them there for 40 days. They have to have a reset again. Everybody hear me? Let me see your hands. They have to reset again
yeah.
and wait 40 years for a lot of them to die off before they can go forward.
Yeah.
Then when enough of them die off and enough new people are born and there are enough people who are willing to go up into the land of Canaan, he moves them into Canaan.
Yeah.
He goes before them with great power, calls the walls of Jericho to fall, you know, and just overwhelms their enemies and does all these things. And Italy and Israel, again, starts to diverge or go separate from God. He tells them, go ahead and get rid of all these people, run them out, because they're never going to act like they're going to be a thorn in your side. And Israel decides, no, we can work out. We can make an arrangement.
Yeah.
We can make an arrangement. We oftentimes say, well, we can make an arrangement. And so by the time Gideon comes along, the judges come along, and even then, as each judge comes, and when you read Judges, you find out that from time to time Israel would cry out, God would come in, send the judge would come in, clean Israel up, and as soon as Israel would clean up, you know, you read in here and say they serve the gods of all these different notions, but the different nations, but the true God they would not serve.
Yeah.
And it's the same way among people. God will come in and clean people up and clean us up from time to time in certain ways. And then as soon as we get straightened out, you know, we decide, okay, I got this now. You know, you can take your hands off now, God. I got it. We never have it.
No.
You know, we don't ever have it. God, I don't ever need God to take his hands off. I don't ever need him to leave me on autopilot. I need him all the time. I'm very much aware of my ability to go askew, but for the Lord and his keeping and his keeping power. And he says in sixth chapter of Judges, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midian 7 years. And as you keep reading this, you find out about verse 5, and they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitudes, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Look at 2, and the hands of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made themselves dens, which are in mountains and caves and strongholds.
Mm.
Israel's really going through a difficult time. Because they, in the first line, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Remember in Deuteronomy, Moses says to them that as long as they will obey God, God will keep them and God will bless them.
Yes.
And God still honors that today. If you obey God, God will keep you and bless you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then we find in over in about verse number down to 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And I talked about Gideon being in the winepress because Gideon had made up his mind. I've got to feed the people somehow.
Yeah.
Some people would say, if I can't do it in the wine, if I can't thrash in the thrashing floor, I'm not going to thrash at all. Gideon says, no, we got to work something out.
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the angel of the Lord being one of the Trinity, one of the Godhead, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? If God is with me, why am I having such a difficult time? Why are we having such a difficult time? Well, you know, Gideon doesn't seem to be a sinner, but the problem and the reason why he's having a difficult time is because of sin in Israel. And then we have difficult times because we go through hurricanes and floods, and we go through sickness and cancer and plague, and we do all manner of things. And it's not because we sin directly. You can't say I'm sick because I'm a sinner. But the reason why these things are because of sin. They came into the earth when Adam sinned. And until we see Jesus, we are without our being directly involved. We are involved in them because we're in the earth. And Gideon, in this case, Gideon is not necessarily a sinner, but he's starving with the rest of Israel because sin is an issue. And so for us, we have a difficult time. And he says to them, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And this is as much as I'm going to read about Gideon, because everybody here tonight, I don't see anybody new. You know the story of Gideon and how he goes and he fights the battle for the Lord. How the Lord trims him down to a few people so that when he does win the battle, he has to give all the glory to God. And then you need to know, as you continue to read about it, though, and so Gideon gets back and he builds an ephod, and he builds a monument or a memorial to God winning the battles for them against the Midianites. And in generations to come, once again, they start to worship the memorial.
Yeah.
Make it a god. And so by the time of Hezekiah, one of them, Josiah, one of them, they have to destroy it because the people are worshiping it. So, you know, we have this propensity or this proclivity, or we have this tendency among us to really vary off from God, and to really go into something else. It's like we're always looking for some way to help God reinvent the way He needs us to go, and we're just too bright in our own minds, all right? So Gideon, in this case, says to the Lord, he says to him, if you're really with us, why are we having all these problems we have? Now I want to fast forward and go all the way to John. And John. Excuse me. And in John, the first chapter. And this is the way that I want to go tonight, and this is about the is the point I want to make tonight. When I'm preaching and teaching to you, and when the Spirit is working with me, Spirit is dealing with me, and we're going through different times and different circumstances. He has to keep before my eyes the prize. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. He that believeth on me shall not be ashamed, or shall not be disappointed, shall not be let down. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. He that has begun a good work in me is able to perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. Notwithstanding, in the rain, God is still God. In the middle of a tornado, God is still God. And whatever, God is still God, and for all of us. But when we're preaching and teaching and we're saying to ourselves, we always have this question in our mind about God. And it's a simple question, and it's right here in John, the first chapter. And he says, and about verse number 43, the following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find us Philip. John 1 and 43. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
And said, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus the Nazarite, the son of Joseph. We found the Messiah.
Yes.
You know, we found the Lord. And we tell people, we found the Lord.
Yes.
And we know the answer to what you're going through. It's in Jesus Christ. Yes. And it is. And the reason why your life is not great, we have the answer to that. We know how to make your life great. It's in Jesus Christ. It would hold no good thing from them to walk upright before him. And, you know, in 3 and 38, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. And it's all true.
Yes.
And we say to people, if we're preaching the gospel, which we need to be preaching, and it's what I'm saying to people, because our answer is in Christ. Tonight, our answer is in Christ. The solution to everything is in Christ. If you want anything from God, you have to go through Christ. Why is that? Because as long as you're in sin, you're estranged from God, or you're separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way back to God is through Christ, because he is our sacrifice and our redeemer. Let everyone know, no matter what their problem is or what they're going through. I want everybody who's listening tonight, have faith in God, no matter what you're going through or what your problem is. It might be taking longer to work it out like it was to Gideon than you think it should work out. It might not be working out exactly like you think it should work out, because Peter didn't like the way that Jesus was working out going to the cross. There are many things about it, and then the disciples themselves didn't like that Jesus wasn't going to stay. And he has explained to them, this is God's plan.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you tonight that if you wait on God, things will work out.
Yeah.
There's no working out without God, one way or the other. Either things will work out in earth, or Jesus will come.
Oh, yeah.
One way or the other, you're going to be all right. Someone was talking about being sick, and people like to throw the thing at us and say, well, if heaven's so great, why don't you just die and go there? Because God gets all the glory in us. When we're sick and God heals us, like he raised Lazarus from the dead, and like he healed the blind man, God gets glory for that.
Yeah.
When we're living on every day and God is keeping us and sustaining us, God gets glory for that.
Yeah.
I would like to say to anybody who said to us, if heaven is so great, why don't you just die and go there? If it were a point of heaven being great and everybody who saved just going to heaven, you would have nobody to tell you about God.
Right. Yeah.
Because if God, if I had my way about it, the day God saved me, he would have taken me back to heaven.
Yeah.
Then you would have no one to tell you about God.
That's right.
God is glorified in everything we do. Just living in the earth and living a life before God is to his glory. And it wins you, because God has this number that he's going to save. He's always had it. He knows when he'll reach it. But until then, the glory of God is in us. If we're sick and God is healing us, it's to the glory of God.
Yeah.
If we're sick and the Lord is keeping us, it's to the glory of God. If God blesses us and we become bountiful, it's to the glory of God.
Yeah.
If we're going through, it's to the glory of God. However we do it, it has to redound, is the word that he uses, or it has to be used to the glory of God. Our lives are supposed to be to the glory of God.
Yeah.
So when someone asks me, well, if heaven's so great, wants to just die and go there, because if I did, I wouldn't be here to tell you.
Yeah.
That God is a good God, and I would not be an example of God being a good God, and the light of God would not show, so you could be saved.
Yeah.
So I'm in the situation like Paul. He knew it would be better to be in heaven, but I need to be here because you need the help.
Yes. Amen.
For you, it is to your advantage. So when we go through,
So Jesus is preaching and teaching, and he's gathering his disciples. And one of the disciples, Philip, runs up to Nathanael. He says, I found the Savior. Just like we should tell people, I found the Savior. Mm-hmm. We sing the song, He's Sweet, I Know. I found the Savior. That's a big statement. Mm-hmm. I found the ones the prophets are talking about. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been waiting, and everybody's been saying that he's coming, and he's come. I have found him. Do you know what a sweeping statement is? I have found the Savior. And it's that way when we are saved, and when the Lord saves us, and people say, well, why do you live like you live? You're like Elvis Smith tonight. You got joy. You got peace. Because I found the Savior.
Yeah.
This is not just, I didn't just say I found the church. I said I found the Savior.
Yeah.
I didn't say I found the pastor. I said I found the Savior.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't say I found religion. No, I found the Savior.
Savior. Yeah.
When the Lord saves you, you have found the Savior.
Savior. Yeah.
When you ask God to redeem you, you found the Savior.
Savior.
People need
yeah.
to find the Savior. We need to tell them about the Savior.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They can learn the organizational chart later. They can learn what we do later, but the first thing they need to do is find the Savior.
Yeah, yeah.
At this time, Jesus hasn't told them what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He hasn't sent them out one by one. He hasn't told them about the Holy Ghost. He hasn't told them, he hasn't preached a whole lot to them, but he tells them that I found the Savior.
Yeah.
Now come, and let's just see what's going to go on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then immediately, it's the next word that comes out of his mouth. It comes out of our mouth. And it comes out of sinner's mouth. He says to him, and Nathanael says to him, not, well, where is he? He says to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? In other words, is there any good thing coming out of Nazareth? We said, well, I found the Lord. And he can work out all your problems. How are he going to do that? Oh, when we're going through, and the Holy Ghost says, you'll be all right. And we start saying, yeah, I know, but... But immediately when he says, I found the Savior, he comes up and he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And we say to people, if you'll come to the Lord will work out you. You know, the Lord can deliver you, can get you off. How are you going to do that? Well, the problem is, it's not an issue of how he's going to deliver you from it. It's the problem that you don't want to be delivered.
Yeah, yeah.
But even still, God will work on you if you'll give him a chance. So immediately when he comes, it's like when the angel comes to Gideon. Gideon says to him, if God is really still with us, why are we going through what we're going through? And during this time under Roman occupation and under the law and the scribes and the Pharisees are living real well, it's like today, got all these people sitting up in Congress. They have never lived on $10 an hour, but they want to reduce what's the minimum wage. We can't do more than $10 an hour. Have you ever lived on $10 an hour? Then why should you ask anybody else to do it? You listen to that fat cat, you know, overweight, got 10 doctors keeping you alive, every drug available, see if there is, and you don't want anybody to have anything. During this time, the scribes and Pharisees are living well. And the people are starving, and the people don't have, and worse than that, just like now, the scribes and the Pharisees aren't doing their job. They're not giving them God. They're not preparing them for Jesus to come. Better yet, they don't want Jesus to show up because they love their life.
Yeah.
So during this time, when Philip finds Jesus, when they find Jesus, my goodness, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. And he runs and tells Nathanael, and Nathanael says, the first thing he says to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? In other words, he's saying to him, how do you know it's the Lord? And how do you know, how's he going to do it? Well, Jesus fixes that. He goes on down and he tells Nathanael, he starts speaking to him through the gift of knowledge and says to him, I saw you on the tree and so forth and so on. And then he uses the gift of discernment, says to him, and here's a man in whom is no God.
Yeah.
Listen. When the Spirit starts moving, and then Nathanael says, if you get down to, about verse number, the last one in here, as many as I'm going. And Nathanael answered in 49, and he said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And by the power of God, he's convinced. But the first thing on his mind is, how's this going to work out? You know, here you go again, bringing somebody. Y'all fall out there, everybody comes along, and you're telling me he's from Nazareth of all places? Where in the Old Testament is Nazareth mentioned? It's not. Who has ever prophesied of Nazareth? No one. Well, actually, the man came from Bethlehem, but It's the same way we do now. When the Lord says, I'm going to work it out, how are you going to do that?
Yeah.
You know, says, well, why don't you try coming to church for a while? I didn't try at church. You didn't try mine.
Yeah.
Well, I came to your church one time. Well, come again.
Yeah.
We don't always get it right every time you show up. Give us an opportunity. Give God an opportunity. It's not me you trying to work it out with. It's God. It's not me you need. It's God. And if you came looking for God to help, maybe God would be able to help you. But if you come and the only reason why you're saying it is because can any good thing come out of that church? Well, I just don't go down there because the setup was, you're not looking for God.
Right, right,
you're
right.
Not expecting God to do anything. Have
right.
faith in God.
Right.
I want to encourage everybody out here tonight, whenever you're going through it, wherever you are, have faith in God.
Right.
Have faith in God. Everything we have is through Christ. Have faith in God. Jesus is the Christ, our deliverer, all we have. I wish I could get every crackhead to come and allow God to at least back up the evil spirits that cause them to do it and deliver them. I wish I could get them to give God a minute to just spend some time because of the power of God. Jesus shows Nathaniel the power of God. There's power in the preaching and teaching of God.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And later on, he's going to do all kinds of miracles. He's going to heal, he's going to deliver and everything else. But right now, he just says to Nathaniel, I saw you when you were sitting under this tree, and I know that you're the sort of person who's not foolish.
Yeah.
In other words, you're somebody who can't be fooled, and you're not someone running around fooling everybody else, and whom is no guile. You're not speaking deceitfully or doing those kind of things. And when he says it, he changes Nathaniel, and he comes. Every one of us who came to Christ at some point in time, God said something to us to cause us to come. Somehow or another, the light came on us and came on in us, and somehow God said something to us and caused us to come. When we're preaching and teaching even now, and we're praying for the Lord to move, many times now when the Spirit says it's going to work out, the first thing we ask him, is any good thing coming out of that? Well, how are you going to do that? Why are you going to do that? My last question. Have faith in God. Mark. One of my favorite prayer scriptures. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Maybe when I'm witnessing, maybe I need to just say to people, you need to have faith in trust God.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You trusted everything out. We even have a song, don't we? Have you tried it? You tried everything and everything is still tried to
Jesus. Yeah.
Well, if you tried everything and everything has worked, you still need to try
Jesus.
Yeah. One of the biggest failures you can have in sin is for everything to work out.
Yeah.
I have people who come to who I'm praying for and promise who have come from time to time. It's like a and my prayer for God to live in isn't that everything will work out for them. My prayer is to God, is Lord, make the call them to need you.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to do to cause them to need you, it is better to be sick and safe than it is to be healthy and in sin.
Yeah.
It's better to be poor and safe than it is to be rich and in sin. Yeah. Cause them to need you.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes for them to come to the house of God, give them a reason to come.
Yeah.
The people down the street that can see the sign and walk by, give them a reason to walk through the doors. I don't know what you have to bring in your life or how they have to be, but somehow or another, bring them to the foot of the cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give them a reason to come to God. And when they show up in here, I will tell them about Jesus because he's the one who brings everybody out. Our way into God, there is one way into God, and it is through Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He's our sin sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice of sin that all of us are born in. Every believer needs to reaffirm, and every unbeliever needs to know, without Christ we are lost, because there has to be an atonement to God, because we are born estranged. We are born separate from God. We are born in sin. We are born without God. And all the other things pile on from there. And if you don't have God to lift them off from time to time and dust us off and bring us through a reset, as God has to do, make us new again, reaffirm again. And when the Lord blesses us, our faith is high and we start to believe in God again. But because we're in these mortal bodies and because we're human, in a little while, unless we're really spiritual, we start to go down again.
Yeah.
And God steps in and By the time God gets to Gideon, Gideon loves God. You say, well, how do you know Gideon loves God? Because God shows up to Gideon.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know that God, that Gideon has God, that Gideon has God in his heart, that his heart belongs to God? Because God showed up to Gideon.
Yeah.
How do you know that Gideon was in God? Because Gideon was working out for the people of God.
Yeah.
He had made up his mind, I've got to feed him somehow or another. And God showed up there. Don't you know when God comes to someone, he knows who he's coming to?
Yeah.
He knew he was the sort of person that he could use, one that would obey him, and one who wanted to do right by Israel. And Gideon even has the right mind. He says, I'm not even the greatest out of all my people. Why are you coming to me? I have brothers that are greater than I am, and everybody else in God says, but you're the one I can use.
Yeah.
They're great in themselves, but I need someone I can use. We need, you know, I wish every person who walks, I've got people who come in here who work on a church and do things. Don't they know? I'm trying to tell them, you're somebody God can use. It's not just a matter of sitting in a chair and listening to me. You need to be somebody for God yourself. In the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, sometimes we'll do programs and we'll have fundraisers and we'll have patrons. And we'll listen to people about how much they paid, and the $10,000 people a person, then the $5,000, then the $1,000, then the $500, and the $200, and so forth and so on down the line. The Lamb's Book of Life is not like that. I don't know if it's an alphabetical order or what order it's in, but we're all just in there.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't matter to me if I named the last one in the book, as long as we are in there. I kind of suspect it's probably about whenever you get saved.
Yeah.
That's as easy as anything else because they added a lot of my mind.
Yeah.
And then when you backslide, you get blotted out, so you start over again the last page. And when if you don't go back to the page you were on, you start the new page when you're saved.
Yeah.
But the point of it is to say all that, but what you need, what we need to do is make sure your name is written on high.
Yeah.
I got this census going around right now. We want to know everybody who's in the Church of Living God. Okay, I can understand that. But only to a certain extent, you know, you can't give everybody's information because there's no Privacy Act being gone and no statement or whatever. But I can understand it, but that's not what's important. What's important is that everybody's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, for us, it's just an administrative thing, and it'll change by next week because somebody will die, leave, add, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why most churches don't even bother to keep up with it, especially big churches.
Yeah.
The only thing they keep up with is whether or not you paid your tithes.
That's
the extent of it. They don't care whether you move. They don't care whether your phone number changed or whatever. Just wondering whether you pay your tithes or not.
Yeah.
But in heaven, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want everybody who comes in, everybody listening to me tonight, you must keep your name in the book.
Yeah.
You must keep your name in the book. We need to tell all young people, if you've ever been in Christ, you must keep your name in the book.
Yeah.
If you've done something so your name has been blotted out, you need to get your name back in the book. So, how do I do that? You come back to Jesus and you ask him, Lord, save me again and be my atonement and be my lamb again. And go before God and say, Lord, here I come bringing Jesus afresh.
Yeah.
And I want you to forgive me because of his blood. And I'm bringing before you the lamb that's the sacrifice for all my sins whom you resurrected. Lord, let it be mine again today. Lord, save me afresh. And fill me with the Holy Ghost. Seal me with the Holy Ghost. Establish in me the Holy Ghost. Strengthen my spirit again. And give life to my spirit again. And give me new life. And give me a fresh start. That's where it starts. That's what everybody has to do from time to time. When you pray, you have to come to God and say to God, Lord, you're my everything. You're my all in all. God, I worship you and I glorify you. It's not just those over there who need you, but it's like the song says, it's me.
Yes.
I'm standing in the need of prayer. I need Jesus to go before me. I need him as the Lamb. And all people who come, we need to say to them, Jesus is the Lamb. He's the one. How he going to bring me out? I don't know how he's going to bring me out. I just know he can.
Yes.
How's he going to deliver it? I don't know how he's going to deliver it. I just know he can.
Yes.
For you, it might be one way. For me, it was another. But I know one thing. He's got all power.
Yes.
And if you let him, he will deliver you.
Yes.
Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Jesus steps up and says, yes, I'm a Nazarite, and you will call me that. But I saw you sitting under that tree, and I know what sort of heart you have. And then he had to say, I know now you're the Son of God. Can the Lord deliver me? Give him a chance. Why won't you let the Lord deliver you? You can't deliver you. Let God do it. Come in and allow the Lord to do it. We need to give, you know, we need to talk a whole lot more about Jesus. Because he's the Lamb takes away the sins of the whole world.
Yeah.
He's what every one of us must have every day.
Yeah.
If we seek to God, we have to present first of all Jesus.
Yeah.
We ask God to bless us in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal us in the name of Jesus. And even if we don't put if we don't say, I come in the name of Jesus, or finish it within the name of Jesus, if we just say, Lord, I really need some help today, we don't have to say, in the name of Jesus. When we come before God, those of us in whom the Lord dwells, who have the Holy Ghost, when we come before God, for God, it's a given that our sacrifice is Jesus. If we have done anything to lose it, He's still there. God, please help me. Lord, please see me. And I don't have to say in the name of Jesus. When I call on God, it's in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I can make it so. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, because of your son Jesus, I can do all that. And it's good.
Yeah.
But everybody needs to know, without Jesus, you're a sinner.
Yeah.
Without Christ, you're lost.
Yeah.
Without him, if you think life is bad now, just wait.
Yeah.
But the Lord will bring you out. You can have a good life. Is there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yes, there is. Is there anything that this church, this little church you got down here, just looks like all the other metal buildings in Fort Walton Beach? Is any good thing come out of it? Yes, there is. These people you got down here on the regular basis, is anything come out? Yes, there is. God is a good God. Everybody's happy. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, before you can even say to us, we'll be all right. Lord, we're always ready to question, what you going to do? God, please forgive us. God, wash us and cleanse us. Whatever you do will be right. God, whatever you do, however you do, Lord, it'll be all right. Father, we glorify your name tonight, Lord. For all of us, Lord, who have any discomfort, any sickness, Lord, any shortage, Lord, any insufficiency, Lord, I pray on your blessing tonight. More than anything else, Lord, I pray on your blessing and spirit. Strengthen us with might by your spirit, amen. Lord, let the word of God be strong in us, O God. Lord, hide it in our hearts, Lord. Secure it in our hearts, Lord. Store it in our hearts. Let it become our heart and our way and our life. Lord, let your word become our life. When Christ is our life, Lord, let your word become our life, Lord. Cause your word to become our life. Lord, cause our walk in the Holy Spirit to be the walk that we have. Lord, cause it to be our life. Lord, I pray, Lord, keep everything for us, Jesus Christ, Lord, our sacrifice, your sacrifice. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we glorify you because you're the great God. Lord, you're worthy of all glory and all honor, Lord. Lord, we sanctify your name. Bless your holy name. Lord, we ask you to bless us tonight, Lord. Lord, use us as you use your son, Jesus, to bring your name to the glory, O God. Lord, anoint us to win many women to Christ. Give us what you say, O God. Lord, give us, Lord, anoint us to speak, Lord, the light that you've given us, Lord, and cause our life, Lord, to be a bright light for the people, O God. Cause many women to say, what must I do to be saved? Or how shall I find the Lord? Lord, let those be questions that we're able to answer with the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, strengthen us with might by your Spirit that we will be, Lord, even as Jesus did when people will come, Lord. Lord, the Spirit will be evident, Lord, and the Holy Spirit will speak to their spirit, and they will say, of us, this man or this woman is of God. And they will say of a truth that we are worthy to be followed because we're leading them to the cross. Lord, anoint us to lead anyone to the cross. Lord, anoint us to lead men and women to the cross. Lord, anoint us to lead our own children to the cross. Lord, our families to the cross. Lord, anoint us to lead our friends to the cross, our neighbors to the cross. Lord, those all around us. Lord, not just strangers we've never heard of. Lord, anoint us, Lord. Lord, give us the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for those we've known for a long time, Lord, to be changed and see a new life, Lord. It's not too late now. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Lord, that for all our children, if they're not as close to the cross as they need to be, Lord, give us a word, O God. Lord, let it not be as Job's sons and daughters, for though he prayed for them every day, Lord, they would not turn. Lord, I pray, Lord, give our children a heart to turn towards God, a mind towards God, love for the way of the Lord. Thank you, God. Guard their minds from lying and seducing spirits. Keep them in the love of God. Lord, Lord, that they would have eternal life, O Lord. Their names would be written on high. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do this, O God, in our families and all that we would come upon. Lord, the people that are in our churches that aren't faithful, Lord, I pray, Lord, you move in such a way to bring them to the cross.
Yes,
Lord, those that have tried it for a moment and all another way, Lord, bring them to the cross.
Yes,
let them know they can't live without you. Lord, give them a desire to be in God.
Yes.
Turn them, O God, and bring them to this cross, O God. Lord, I don't know what needs to be done in their lives, but Lord, I pray, Lord, you move so they have eternal life. Lord, move so they will have life and that more abundantly, O God. Lord, whatsoever these be done, Lord, I commit them unto you, O God, in thine hands. Lord, no, I trust you, and I trust your will and your way. And every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Lord, while some things don't look like they're good, O God, Lord, they come from you, they serve the right purpose. Lord, they come from you, Lord, they serve a good purpose in our life, O God. Lord, I pray that you will work among the people, O God. Turn us towards you. Lord, lead us and guide us, men and women. Lord, the harvest is plenteous, Lord. Anoint us to be great labor. Anoint us to reach the harvest, O God. Lord, anoint us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Arm us with the word of God. Lord, then bring us into the presence of people who need God. Lord, be a bright light of God. Lord, drive the darkness from their minds, Lord. Lord, loose them for every uncleanness of evil spirit, O God. Take up your abode in them, O Lord. Give them a mind to say, what must I do to be saved? Give us the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. We will tell them, Lord, and they will confess their sins and repent to be saved, O God. Lord, we'll give you glory. We'll give you honor. Lord, build up this church, Lord. Lord, church, me and your people are the strength of your Lord, increase the church. Lord, increase the church by the power of God. Lord, change it from darkness to light, from Satan and sin unto God. Lord, increase the church by forgiving their sins. Increase the church, Lord, by giving them an inheritance from the sanctity in Christ Jesus. Lord, add to the church, Lord, such as will be saved. Lord, give men and women, Lord, to turn from sin and come to God. Lord, lead us in a way, Lord, that our life and our witness, Lord, will cause them to turn from sin and come to God. Lord, build up the church and add to the church, God. Like you did the church in Acts, O Lord, then have the church rest, O God. Lord, men and women were added by the power of God and by the word of God. Lord, you just increase the church, O God. Add to the church that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, add to the glorious church, O God. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, the people say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his mercy.